This is Ray Hadley in the Morning, right across Australia.
And good morning and welcome. Monday the 8th of June, I'm Ray Hadley. Great to have your company on 2GB, 2CC, 4BC and stations on the Macquarie Regional, Southern Cross and Capital Radio Networks. Top of 22 in the City of Sydney, same out west, 24 Brisbane. And we'll check the weather across the rest of the listening area shortly. No matter where you are, the number is the same, 131873. Email me either rayhadley.com, 2gb.com, 4bc.com.au and access information from the program by going to facebook.com/The Ray Hadley Morning Show. Holiday Monday, good to have your company for this Holiday Monday right across the country. Many of you, apart from 2GB and 4BC, who normally take the full 3 hours, will be with us for the full 3 hours today. A little bit more laid back than a normal Monday to Friday show because it is a holiday Monday. We'll keep you in contact with traffic and all listening areas. If you see a problem, let me know about it. 131873. Congratulations to all the Australians across all the communities who've been honoured with Queen's birthday honours. Some of the people happen to be friends of mine. I just went through some of those people who've been honoured. The great country jockey from Cessnock, Robert Thompson, gets a gong, as does the CEO of Panthers, Warren Wilson, for his contribution to sport and sports marketing over a long period of time. Joe Risk, for his contribution to medical research and his efforts for the Australian-Lebanese community and the relations between those two communities. Well done to you, Joe. The Mayor of Temora, who talks to us often on the program, Rick Furman, has been honoured, as has an icon of Queensland Rugby League, the great Kevin Brash. Well done to you, Kevin. Congratulations to all those people, many, many hundreds of them honoured today for the Queen's birthday. On Friday, I spoke rather passionately about what the coroner into the Lindt Cafe murders would do about an application by the New South Wales DPP, Lloyd Babb. Well, Coroner Barnes didn't let us down. He put Mr. Babb back in his hole. Janet Fife-Yeomans wrote about it on Saturday morning. The state's top prosecutor would be forced to explain why he never appealed decisions to free gunman Man Monis on bail in the lead-up to the deadly Martin Place siege. State Coroner Michael Barnes backed the victims' families and the public interest and rejected an attempt by the DPP to shut down examination on why Monis was on bail. Mr. Barnes said there could be a causal link between Monis being granted bail in October last year and the deaths of the barrister Katrina Dawson and cafe manager Tory Johnson. Quote, as Mr. Monis seems to have gone on to commit serious offences and endangered the public 2 months after being released on bail, inquiring into how he came to be at liberty relates to the matters I've identified as relevant. The circumstances under which he and others died make it so. The DPP, Lloyd Babb, never appealed the decision to grant Monis bail, as I revealed to you on Friday. As a result of Mr. Barnes' decision, the DPP will have to reveal internal decisions and the police will have to explain why a submission prepared by homicide squad detectives urging the DPP challenge Monis's bail was never received by prosecutors. The submission prepared after Monis was granted bail in 2013 for being accessory to the murder of his then-wife, Nolene, was handed to a commissioned officer but didn't pass it on the DPP. Well, that commissioned officer should be called before the inquiry and asked to explain him or herself, as the case may be. Outside the court, Miss Dawson's father, Sandy Dawson Sr., said the coroner's move to examine the issue was a good decision. The inquest will resume on August 17. And it's a good decision for the public of New South Wales that Lloyd Babb, every time I think of him, I think of Lloyd Braun from Seinfeld for some reason when I say his name. And he's apparently not a bad style of fellow, Mr. Babb. It would appear, based on what other legal minds have told me, he may well have been elevated beyond his station in life. A decent, hard-working fellow, but not DPP material, I'm told by people within the legal fraternity. Well, I guess we're going to find out when the pressure's applied to him as to why he didn't appeal these decisions. Was he asleep at the wheel, Lloyd Babb? Front page of the Daily Telegraph today, and the winner is Sydney. $1 million tram link to save Olympic Park. $1 billion light rail line from Parramatta to Strathfield, which will rejuvenate Sydney Olympic Park, created with 108,000 jobs, is poised to get the green light from the Premier And as a resident out there, I'm not unhappy about that. It'll go from Westmead Hospital down through Parramatta to Rosehill Racecourse. So you'll be able to access where the races are today, by the way. Get to Newington, which is adjoining the ANZ Stadium complex. There will be a feeder line down to Rhodes, which is on the Parramatta River. And the other one will go to Flemington and then to Strathfield. So there will be a link. Well, there's already a rail link between Strathfield and Parramatta now, but it's a heavy rail link. This will give people access to the Sydney Olympic Park complex, which is, I think, a fantastic thing, a really good thing. And congratulations to the government if and when they make that decision. Now, as you may have heard in news, there's a tragedy happened in northwestern Sydney this morning. Police were called to a rural property on Browns Road at Currajong at 7:40 a.m. It's believed a man and a woman had been using a wood chip heater during their weekend stay at a cabin. Police are now investigating whether they suffered carbon monoxide poisoning, as all the windows in the cabin were closed. A crime scene has been set up there. And police are appealing for information after three officers were hospitalised after a crash with a stolen car at Matraville. 12:25 this morning, police from Botany Bay saw a stolen Mitsubishi Lancer at La Perouse. The driver of the stolen vehicle left the area at speed. Moments later, crashed into the rear of a fully marked police sedan. It was travelling north on Anzac Parade, Matraville. The impact, the police car rolled on its side, the Lancer onto its roof. The man driving the Lancer and a woman who was a passenger freed themselves and ran from the scene. The three officers taken to the Prince of Wales Hospital for treatment for minor injuries. They're going to be okay. But I would think that police will know exactly who they're looking for. Possibly someone who was recently given bail, one would imagine, by the courts. And the courts let them out, the police chase them, police get injured, other people get injured, put them back before a court, they give them bail again. It's never ending. Front page of the Courier Mail, more drama for the Anastasia Palaszczuk government up there with yet another focus on yet another backbencher. And it's not looking too good for Anastasia. Geez, just based on my reading of it from afar, it appears to me the poor bugger's been engulfed by dills. I mean, I suppose in every government there'll be a form of dill that you have to wear, and opposition, I guess, as well. But in her particular case, she seems to have an oversupply of dills, which will make it difficult for her to govern. But anyway, we'll see what happens there. The road toll. Now, there's a photo today in the Telegraph about a car split in half at Narellan, and somehow the bloke escaped being killed. There are bits of the car spread across a large area, which would indicate speed was a factor. The motor is in a paddock a long way from the car, and somehow I thought, well, he's dead, but he's dodged a bullet. Not so for 11 people, including two young boys, across four states on the Queen's birthday long weekend. The latest fatality involved a 54-year-old man who died after the truck he was driving rolled and caught fire on a central Queensland highway. Police say the truck was travelling north on the Bruce Highway north of Gingin when the driver lost control. That was on Sunday afternoon, yesterday afternoon. Four others have been killed on Queensland Road since the holiday started, including a 50-year-old man. His car left the road at Laidley, injuring a 12-year-old girl. 4 o'clock Friday, that little girl passed away in hospital on Saturday night. Shortly after midnight Saturday, a 17-year-old driver was killed when his car hit a tree at Kapera in Brisbane's northwest after he failed to stop for police. A man in his 50s died when his car rolled near Rockhampton at 4:30 a.m. Saturday morning. In Victoria, a woman died after he was hit by a car as she crossed the road near the Kyneton train station. And two people died instantly when their car hit a truck on the Princess Highway in eastern Victoria at 11:30 a.m. Saturday morning. And a 9-year-old boy and a 12-year-old girl, the boy died, the 12-year-old girl is fighting for life after a single vehicle crash in Victoria's east on Sunday morning. Police say four children and a woman were in the car when it left the road and rolled in Victoria. A 4-year-old boy has died and two adults hospitalised after a car crash in southern New South Wales. Fatigue has played a factor here, apparently. A 39-year-old man, the father of the boy, was driving a Volkswagen sedan near Tarcutta on Sunday morning. It veered off the road and crashed into a tree. And a 23-year-old woman from New South Wales died in a two-vehicle crash on the Tasman Highway in Tasmania. She was a passenger in a sedan that collided with the front of an oncoming utility at 6:35 p.m. That happened on Friday night. Now, Kellyville's a lovely suburb in northwestern Sydney. A really good suburb. But the people of Kellyville are scratching their heads in utter disbelief. There's a beautiful war memorial on Wrights Road at Kellyville. That's where Castle Hill RSL, one of our sponsors, hold their Anzac Day commemoration, and they get crowds of 15, 16, 17, 18, 20,000 people on Anzac Day to those playing fields. And the people of Kellyville take a great pride in the fact that they turn up in such significant numbers. It's young mums and young dads starting their lives out there with the young children. Well, would you believe a war memorial was vandalised and six bronze plaques ripped from a brick wall on Wrights Road, Kellyville, over the weekend? Someone discovered the theft at 8 o'clock yesterday. By sheer coincidence, I was driving past the Oval when there's some A-grade football being played yesterday afternoon. The plaques recognise personnel from the Navy, Army, the RAAF, Merchant Navy and Women's Service. It's not known if the brass plaques were taken as souvenirs or for scrap metal. I'm tipping for scrap metal. And, you know, you wonder what you'd do with someone if you caught them. You know, and we don't advocate violence, but a good old-fashioned flogging wouldn't go astray, I wouldn't think. Perhaps we need to enlist the help of our Singaporean friends who give people a good old-fashioned flogging when they steal things that don't belong to them, particularly things of such significance like this. But it just turns your stomach when you think about it. Now, by the way, Scott Morrison normally with me on a Monday because it's a holiday Monday. He'll be here tomorrow. But Gillian Triggs, you know, I feel, and given that I have a limited amount of oxygen at the moment, I'm not all that well. But I just feel as if we all waste a bit too much more oxygen than we need to on Gillian Triggs, the Human Rights Commissioner. Now, she has again been asked to resign. The federal government has lost all confidence in the professor, with senior cabinet ministers believing she's a partisan rather than independent human rights referee. You'll remember last year the lamentable Professor Triggs recommended Indonesian refugee John Basik, who served 7 years for the manslaughter of his pregnant wife, be paid compensation because the government locked him up at Villawood. Upon his release, it's believed he was too dangerous to be allowed back into the community. She left the Prime Minister furious after inquiring into children in detention last year, recommending a royal commission, despite the government cutting children in detention from 2,000 to 200, when she was, of course, there in Labor in. You never heard a word out of this woman. On Friday, she linked Indonesia's refusal to negotiate on the execution of the Bali Nine drug mules with her opposition to the government's boat turn-back policy. She also used a speech on Friday to criticise political parties for teaming up the past terror laws, which had restricted liberties. Look, the day she retires from public life, I'm going to have a party. I'm going to have my own little party and toast myself that she's gone. She was appointed by the previous Labor government in July of 2012 for a fixed 5-year term. So that's July 2017. I'll have a celebration August 1, 2017 if she doesn't go before. I mean, she is the most obscure, strange person ever to occupy the chair of the Human Rights Commissioner in this country. In sport, by the way, that Memorial Golf Tournament finished this morning. And a bloke called David Lingmerth, a Swede, he won on the third playoff hole with Justin Rose. Now, Justin Rose at the start of the day, I think, three clear of the field. Then he collapsed. And others took the lead. I think the Italian, Molinaro, was in front last time I looked at it. And obviously, he didn't get there. Jordan Spieth was in the clubhouse 13 under earlier after birding the 18th. Mark Leishman did really well. He's finished tied for fifth at 12 under, by the way. Lingmerth, 15 under with Justin Rose. They're two in front of Spieth, and there he is, Francesco Molinari. And behind them, Mark Leishman and Matsuyama, the defending champion from Japan. But Lingmerth is one at the third playoff hole, so well done to him. Now, in other sporting news on this holiday Monday, let's go back through what happened so far this weekend. The Broncos gave it to Manly, 44 points to 10. The Titans upset the West Tigers at Leichhardt 27-20. The Raiders humbled the Knights 44-22. The Rabbitohs travelled to Perth and gave the New Zealand Warriors a touch-up 36-4. The Storm completely outclassed the Panthers 20-0. The Sharks over the Roosters 10-4, big buddy for Wickham Freightlines. And deserved that win. Wasn't a high-class game, but good luck to the Sharks. They just hung in there and hung in there. And two games today, Bulldogs and Dragons at ANZ. And tonight at Parramatta, Eels and Cowboys. And Billy McGee have a score service there. Now, we got the Broncos on top of the table, by the way, on 20 points. Well done to them. The Dragons have got a game in hand tonight against Canterbury. They're on 18 with the Storm. And the Cowboys are also on 18. They'll probably move to 20 once they beat Parramatta, you would think. The other sport, now the Save Our Sons Immortals Challenge was contested yesterday. The Andrew John Shield for the under-9s, Wenty Magpies 18, Rouse Hill Rhinos 6, the Graham Langlands under-10 Shield, Rouse Hill Rhinos, they're a strong club over Eaglevale 6-0. The Clive Churchill Shield for the under-11s, Glenmore Park Brumby 6, Cabramatta 0. The Bob Fulton Shield for the under-12s went to Cabramatta over Wenty by 4-0. The Reg Gasney Shield for the under-13s went to the Bankstown Sports Club over St Mary's 12-6. And the Johnny Rapper Shield for the under-14s, Wenty Magpies beat Rouse Hill Rhinos 6-4. Penalty goal in Golden Point, I'm told, there to the Magpies. So well done to them. Stan Wawrinka has upset the world number one Novak Djokovic in an enthralling French Open final. He won 4-6, 6-4, 6-3, 6-4. Serena Williams, she looked like I feel. She had flu, but she's, well, what a champion she is. She dragged herself out of bed and won the French Tennis Open final despite the flu. Makes me feel rather inadequate, complaining about having a sore throat doing a radio program. And AFL over the weekend. Let's have a look at that. Richmond over Fremantle, 97-70. Sydney over Gold Coast, 93-41. Greater Western Sydney over Brisbane, 97-67. Today, the Demon... Excuse me. The Demons play Collingwood Magpies at 3:20 at the MCG. Super 15, Brumbies over the Force. The score there, 33-20. The Reds, beaten by the Chiefs, 24-3. And the Waratahs go to the top of the Australian Conference with a 58-33 win over the Cheetahs. And as you probably heard by now, Miguel Cotto was able to beat Daniel Giel in a technical knockout. I think it happened in the fourth round of their fight in New York. He'd been knocked down the second time, Giel, and as a result, that was outclassed. And that unbelievable horse, American Pharaoh, has won the American Triple Crown, the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness, and the Belmont over the weekend, over 2,000, 1,900 and 2,400. An incredible horse, American Pharaoh. Sired by a horse called Pioneer of the Nile. And it's been 1978 since it was last done by the champion Affirmed. It was done before that by Seattle Slough and Secretariat. And it's part-owned by Coolmore, and he'll be serving at stud as a four-year-old, one would imagine. They won't muck around with him. And netball, the finals, the Australian Conference. Queensland Firebirds, 55. New South Wales, Swift, 44. And today in New Zealand, Northern Mystics take on the Waikato Bay of Plenty Magic. That's what's happening there. Now, plenty for us to talk about, plenty of you to talk about. 131873. Betty's phoned me to tell me there's a police operation in Sydney. Bexley Road closed at Canterbury Road, heading towards Bexley. Thank you, Betty. We'll check out with police what that's all about. That's very kind of you. You can call me 131873. Email me at 2gb.com, rayhadley.com, 4bc.com.au, and get podcast videos and program content. Go to facebook.com/The Ray Hadley Morning Show. I'm Ray Hadley on 2GB, 2CC, 4BC and stations on the Macquarie Regional, Southern Cross and Capital Radio Network.
On the Ray Hadley Morning Show, traffic for Australian Fleet Sales. Call 1300 used cars.
And just getting word coming through now, Bexley North. That police operation has Bexley Road closed in both directions around Kingsland Road. Now, through the Riverina, roads are clear around the Griffith and Wagga Wagga. M5 looking okay in both directions this morning. The Kosciuszko National Park and surrounding areas, snow and ice on the roads, and chains are required. If you're leaving Sydney on the M1 Pacific Motorway, no major problems up towards the Newcastle area and then a good run up to the mid-north coast. This is Ian Wallace for the Ray Hadley Morning Show.
Talk to ANZ, the only Australian bank that has pledged $2 billion in lending for new small business, so you can do it your way. Search ANZ Business Banking.
It's good to have your company. 27 past nine, someone said, Ray, go home. You don't sound well. No, I feel fine, mate. No good going home. I spent 3 days in bed last week and wasn't all that enjoyable. So I can get up and go out, so I'm here. And I'm sorry if it doesn't sound as good as it should, but I'm feeling fine, so don't worry about me. I got a note from Robert Borsak from the New South Wales Upper House. Ray, attached is an article we downloaded from the Criminal Lawyers Legal blog that provides a nice simple justification for the previous Operation Prospect Select Committee inquiry in the Upper House, which I've spoken about, of course, about Nick Calderson. The tapping of phones of Nick Calder, Steve Barrett and other people illegally. The New South Wales Chief Justice, Tom Bathurst, has issued a new rule surrounding the issue of warrants for covert surveillance. Can only be good. Quietly done, the Chief Justice is to be applauded in my humble view. No politics, no BS, just fix it. Good common sense. And it's a detailed explanation of what the Chief Justice has done and why he's prompted to do it. and what he'll do, the new changes. One of the issues faced by judges is they're each being asked to determine an average live warrant application per day. Combining this with the usual caseload, there's much more pressure to deal with the application as quickly as possible. The effect has been that warrants have been issued with little consideration about whether they should be issued. Despite this, the mere fact that judges are routinely stamping warrant applications without any real scrutiny has led to accusations that courts are in bed with police. Chief Justice Bathurst announced the new procedural requirement for Supreme Court judges when dealing with a warrant application from any state or federal agency earlier this month. Now judges must issue brief written reasons when determining a warrant application for covert surveillance. Now, that can't be a bad thing. Well done to the Chief Justice, and thank you, Mr. Borsak, for bringing that to my attention. Now, we've had all the drama with people and tragedies on roads since Friday until now. This one's come out of Goulburn, as 2GN Goulburn are with us this morning. And by the way, I'll get to that weather for the listening area in a moment as well. But there was a chase in Goulburn about 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon involving a motorcycle. Now, this young motorcycle has reached speeds of up to 220 k's. He apparently deliberately took his plate off the rear of the bike because he wanted actually to encourage someone to chase him. The imbecile is described as a clean skin and not a bad young bloke, by all accounts, but thought it'd be fun to bait the cops. He stupidly believed the pursuit would be terminated if he went over 160. He found out, Ray, in New South Wales, that's not the case. No shortage of cops. We had every highway exit blocked off. What's supposed to be a bit of a rush turned out to be a harsh lesson. He thought he could have a bit of fun by getting into pursuit. Cops would terminate due to the manner of riding and wouldn't be identified because he'd removed his number plate. He's now in custody. Well, he's got a bit of time to think about his stupidity, hasn't he? Of course, if it had happened in Queensland, he would have got away with it. I might also mention, speaking of Queensland and Anastasia Palaszczuk waiting for a report in relation to... And thank you to all the people providing all sorts of formulas on how I've been doing this for 32 years. I can assure you there hasn't been one thing I haven't tried in relation to my voice. So I appreciate all the phone calls about do this and do that and do this and do that. At the end of the day, it'll just go. As it's been with me for a week, it'll go in the next couple of days, I would imagine. Ashley Mullaney has a story in the Telegraph today, and I hope our Queensland listeners take note. They are the 1%ers living above the law, but New South Wales bikies are running out of places to hide, with police shutting down more than 30 clubhouses and jailing a senior gang member for the first time under the consorting laws. One of the first bikies charged under the new tough consorting laws, former nomad-turned-rebel member Jamie Zammit, is now the first New South Wales outlaw motorcycle gang member to be put behind bars for associating with convicted criminals. He was sentenced in the Downing Centre local court to 7 months with a non-parole period of 4 months. The crackdown comes as the gang squad and officers from Strikeforce Raptor step up their campaign against outlaw motorcycle gang members, dismantling more than 30 clubhouses across the state in just 3 years. This year, police have shut down clubhouses for the Rebels, the Nomads, the Finks, in raids at Riverston, Mount Druitt, Tamworth, Wetherill Park and Tweed Heads. The clubhouse is quite symbolic to them, said the gang's boss, Deb Wallace. I think they feel it's a sanctuary. But what they're saying is, what we're saying is, if they're there for the purpose of furthering their criminal enterprise, we'll be there to disrupt that. Both the Nomads and Rebels have suffered major blows to their ranks. Alex Vella remains stranded in Malta, as you know. Under laws introduced by the state government in 2012, anyone associating with known criminals in person, on the phone, email or social media, can face up to 3 years in prison. Two warnings must be given first. In last month's sentencing, Zammit, who was also slapped with a 12-month non-association order, it disrupts them, said Deb Wallace, and it does. And while that's happening in New South Wales under laws introduced in 2012, remarkably, in Queensland they want to change them because they don't want to get tough on bikies. Becoming sunny in 22 in Sydney, Penrith 22, Liverpool 22, Richmond, Parramatta and Campbelltown all about the same. Now, in Brisbane, oh, by the way, tomorrow, Tuesday, mostly sunny. Maybe a shower on Wednesday and Thursday and maybe Friday. That's for Sydney. Brisbane, partly cloudy, 24. The meeting today is on the Sunshine Coast. The race meeting where it's 24 degrees. The airport's 23, Ipswich 24, Logan 23, Redcliffe 23, the Gold Coast 24. You got sun until maybe Wednesday and possible showers in Brisbane. The same on Thursday, same Friday. So pretty much the same as New South Wales, or the same as Sydney, I should say, more particularly. Canberra, Partly cloudy, 15 degrees the maximum. Port Macquarie, sunny, 21. Kempsey, sunny and 22. Coffs Harbour, sunny and 22. Wagga Wagga, mostly sunny, 17. Griffith, sunny and 18. Goulburn becoming windy, partly cloudy, 14. Coomba, partly cloudy, 15. Jindabyne, partly cloudy, 12. Orange, partly cloudy, 13. Bathurst, morning fog, then a sunny afternoon, 15 the maximum. Lithgow, partly cloudy, 14. Barrel, windy becoming sunny, 15. Mildura, sunny and 20. Now Queensland, no rain. Oh, hang on. There may be some rain in Maryborough and Hervey Bay. Maryborough and Hervey Bay. Possible morning shower for Maryborough, 25. Hervey Bay, the same, 24. Townsville, possible showers, 27. Charters Towers, 25. All the rest of Queensland, fine, that take the Ray Hadley morning show. Toowoomba, mostly sunny, 20. Kingaroy, a maximum of 22. Charleville, 24. Mount Isa, 27. Longreach, 27. Emerald, 26. Roma, 24. Wallumbilla, the same. Dalby, mostly sunny, 23. St George, sunny, 22. Gundawindi, mostly sunny, 22. And Cunnamulla, sunny up there, and it'll be 23 degrees. 131873 is the open line number, 2gb.com. Lionel's in Hay. G'day, Lionel.
Hey, Ray, how you going?
Not bad. How's Hay today, mate?
Oh, it was cool earlier, mate, yeah. It's not too bad now. Just kind of finished sheep along here, changing a bit of feed.
Good on you, pal. Nice to hear from you.
Yeah, we had a bit of an instance here about 10 days ago, mate, with some fly-by-night fellas putting bitumen roads down in private properties. They done a job over this Bishop's Lodge Motel at South Hay on the recommendation they was working at a gin not far out of town.
Yeah.
And we all sort of believe, well, if they got a job there laying bitumen, that they must be quite reputable. Anyway, they come to my place and give me a price and that, and exchange a deal, and they said, oh, no, it's good for 10 years. I said, you sure? No, everything's right. We've been here, been there, and no, I said, no worries. Anyway, within 24 hours later, they'd laid the bitumen, and we exchanged 30 grand.
What?
Yeah, anyway.
How long was the piece of bitumen?
Oh, it's 2,000 metres, I roughly estimated.
2 km.
Yeah, yeah, in diameter. Anyway, then about probably a couple of hours after they'd finished laying and that, and, I'll get a phone call from the Bishop Lodge Motel from Chinook over there. That's the fellow that owns it, not to let them on the property because their bitumen, which they'd only laid the day before, had already been lifting. And the Pommy fellow drove, there was four Poms, two elderly fellas, one fellow's there probably 120 kilos, the other bloke's about 90 kilos, his sons. And I said, mate, you better get your back end over that motel there. I said, your bitumen's already lifting up, and I said, come back and see what's going on. Anyway, I'd already given the check and that to them, which they'd cashed. Anyway, they come back to more places now.
What, they went and cashed a cheque for 30 grand?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
mate.
I paid them. Anyway, I had to go to, shoot over the Griffith to Dennis, and they said 40, and they go, well, look, we're going to finish this job off on Monday morning. And I said, can we leave our gear here? I said, yeah, no worries. And I had probably an $80,000 Bobcat there, Caterpillar one, and I thought, well, let's a bit of security there. So when I got back from Griffith on 40, all their gear's gone, and I ring him up, and he saw we're just out the road, but he couldn't tell me the name of the property, whatever. Then the phone cut out. Then I ring him Monday, and he goes, oh, I'll be there Monday. So I ring Monday, and I was working out of town. Nah, didn't turn up here again. I ring him Wednesday. He said, oh, no, we'll be back in September to finish the job off. I said, mate, you're supposed to... I said, you've already been paid 50 grand between me and the motel. I said, and their job's lifted. I said, they had a car go through there with a little car boat trailer on it. I said, and tore the bitumen up.
Mate, you got me beat, Lionel. You sound like a fantastic, hard-working bloke. And are you telling me that a motel proprietor and you paid these thieves $50,000, you 30 and them 20? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, mate, yeah.
Well, mate, all I can say is Hay must be the most trusting place on God's earth. Because we've been warning people for the last 15 years on this program about the bitumen bandits.
Yeah, well, so what we thought was everything was legitimate because they said they'd been to the gin. The new cotton gin has just gone up, and it's just been opened up in the last
few
weeks.
Yeah, but, mate, first of all, you don't give them money before the jobs. That's first thing. You don't pay them before they do the job. I mean, you know, you get a plumber. The plumber doesn't say to you, yeah, give us $2,000 up front. The plumber does the job, then gives you a bill, and you pay the plumber. I mean, you know, and even a builder, you know, he'll need payments along the way. But, if they build a house for $300,000, they give him $300,000 and say, you build me a house.
Mate,
the hope of you getting the 30 back and the hope of them getting the 20 back are twofold, none and Buckley's, mate.
Yeah, Yeah. The only thing where I'm ringing up money for, I'll get the police on it after, is that is to warn people if we can find out where they are, because they...
Lionel, I've been warning people for 15 years, and it didn't appear to make a lot of difference to the motel proprietor or you and Hay. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, mate, you don't give someone $30,000 before they're finished a job to make sure you're happy with the job. Just, mate, I feel terribly sorry for you, but, mate, you know, it's a big world out there, mate. You've got to stop being so trusting.
Yeah, I just thought we'd get on your show, you cover
We cover the area, mate, but like I say, I've been telling people for 15 years on the show not to trust bitumen bandits. And it doesn't appear to have made a lot of difference in your case or the case of the motel proprietor. But anyway, I appreciate your call, pal. I'm really sorry for you.
Yeah.
All right,
not a problem, mate.
Okay, Lionel.
If someone knows where they are, they can always give us a call anyway.
Well, mate, I think Lionel, your first port of call would be the New South Wales Police, and give them all the contact details you have for the thieves that have knocked off $50,000 out of the small town of Hay. But, I mean, look, we're all a bit naive. We're all a bit... You know, from time to time, you can all get conned. I've been conned. But honestly, giving them a $30,000 cheque and opening the cheque, please pay cash, and sending them to town to get the 30 grand out of the bank before they've completed the job? Oh, crikey. We've heard back from police about the Goulburn pursuit. This young bloke, described by someone down there as not a bad young bloke, well, I think you may have had your compass facing the wrong way, champ, because police have told me that he allegedly had a knife. He's been charged with police pursuit, speeding at more than 45 km, custody of a knife in the public place. He's been refused bail. So the email suggesting that he's not a bad bloke and, you know, he decided to do this and do that. I don't know whether it's come from a family member or what, but I think, like I say, you may be giving him the benefit of a grave doubt, this young bloke. He's in a stack of strife. Possession of a knife and driving like a lunatic. 131873, the number is 20 to 10.
Macquarie National News.
G'day, Natalie.
Good morning, Ray. Police are investigating whether a young man and woman found dead in a cabin in bushland west of Sydney were killed by fumes from a fireplace. A woman's died after a house fire at Old Adaminaby in the New South Wales Snowy Mountains. Queensland Police will talk to the organisers of an island dance party after five people fell ill from taking drugs. And philanthropists, athletes and police officers are among 717 Australians being recognised for their achievements in the Queen's Birthday Honours. To sport and in the NRL, Canterbury hosts St George Illawarra today, while Parramatta look after North Queensland. Ray will have more news in 20 minutes.
OK, thank you. Keith says, your bitumen call brings to mind the saying by... Phineas T. Barnum, there's one born every minute, says Keith. Well, every rule was broken there. Money up front, clear the cheque. Otherwise, if he paid by cheque, he could have put a stop on it within 5 days by opening the cheque. Dear, oh dear, oh dear, and people are way too trusting. Larry's in Queensland. The war on ISIS is like a world war, so why don't all countries just send in their forces and put a complete stop to it like they did with Hitler? Well, you've sort of reinvented history there, Larry. He invaded Poland. We didn't invade him. And it was 5 years at a great cost to the world. And the world changed forever. So I don't know that we should be focusing on declaring war on people. Certainly a war on terror. We've got to be less tolerant in this country than we have been before. I'm sitting here with my gob wide open, says David, handing $30,000 via an open cheque to gypsy robbers when most of Australians know what crooks they are. I could cry for this fella. 131873 is that open line number, 2GB.com. Story from New South Wales Police. Police from Surry Hills LAC, together with officers from the Metropolitan Crash Investigation Unit, investigating the circumstances surrounding a six-car collision, Moore Park last night. Now, at 9 o'clock last night, emergency service called to a crash at the intersection of South Dowling Street and Cleveland Street. Early investigations suggest one vehicle collided heavily with a vehicle stationary in a line of traffic. That caused each vehicle to crash front to rear, five people taken to hospital, all with non-life-threatening injuries. Police closed the road for some time while a full investigation into the cause of the crash was underway. 131873 is the open line number, should you like to join us. Story from the Chronicle in Toowoomba. A boy has been urgently airlifted by the RACQ Care Flight Rescue Chopper after his clothing caught fire at a property near Mill Merrin last night. The care flight critical care doctor and the QAS intensive care flight paramedic treated the boy for extensive injuries and then flew him back to Brisbane. He's reported to have suffered burns to at least 45% of his little body, including his face. It's not known how the boy caught fire. Reported he ran to the family home for help. The boy's mother and father suffered burns in efforts to put out the flames. The father was treated at a local facility. The mother flown to Brisbane alongside her son, and the boy's in a critical condition. The mum's in a stable condition. The same crew travelled to a property near Stanthorpe earlier in the day for another boy aged 9, injured in a motocross accident. He was flown in a stable condition to Lady Salento Children's Hospital with suspected spinal injuries. Dear, oh dear, two little fellas there. Now, there are race meetings all over Australia today on this Queen's Birthday Monday, but there is one that I wanted to talk about that's in Sydney. It's not a race meeting, it's harness racing at Fairfield. And I think I'm right in saying Fairfield only has two meetings a year in southwestern Sydney. And I was talking to John Tapp on Friday about the meeting because it's a very unusual meeting. They have the J.D. Watts Memorial, named in honour of one of the great harness racing men of Australia, J.D. Watts, Jack Watts. But there's a couple of interesting races. They've got a couple of races over the 1,313 metres. Now, anyone that knows anything about harness racing, a mile is about the shortest you'll go. They're calling it the Batter Out of Hell for Mounties, which is a local club out that way. And Tappy told me about a race that comes up which creates plenty of interest. And they're calling it the Moments of Glory over 2,113 metres. It's on at 5:37 this afternoon. And it's for horses with the worst winning record or the longest time between one win and another. And there are horses there like November Lad, which have had 37 starts for no wins and four placings. High on Dreams, 44 starts for no win and 10 placings. Artesian Waters, 30 starts, no wins, two placings. Well, it's been scratched, actually. As Low as They Come, 8 starts for one placing, so it probably, I'd imagine, start one of the favourites. Top of the Leaderboard for the golfers, 44 starts for one win. In Jet Spirit, 47 starts for one win. I Read the News Today, 58 starts for two wins. Darling's Rocket, 132 starts for seven wins, but 27 placings. It's one of the favourites. And Waste of Time, a 9-year-old, 162 starts, 15 wins, 35 placings. But it's been a long time between drinks for all of those horses. So it's the horses with the longest record of not having won a race, or in the case of those at the top of the order, never won a race anywhere. And for anyone out at Fairfield or surrounding areas, the first race comes up at around 10 past 2 this afternoon. The last is about 6:02, and I used to spend a fair bit of time at Fairfield Trot, calling out there and working there. One of only two meetings a year, I think you'll find. So if you're at a loose end, you want to, and they'll be fielding on all the other race meetings across Australia as well, slip out to Fairfield Harness Racing today at about 10 past 2.
On the Ray Hadley Morning Show, traffic for Australian Fleet Sales. Call 1300 Used Cars.
At Bexley North, a police operation on Bexley Road at Kingsland Road. Now traffic is affected in both directions. Try and avoid the area if you can. M5 looking fairly good in both directions at the moment. Through Gundagai, fog over the Hume Highway. Slow down, put those headlights on. Out of Sydney, the M1 Pacific Motorway. No delays as you make your way up towards the Newcastle area and the Kosciuszko National Park and surrounding areas. Snow and ice on the road. Chains are required. Take it nice and easy. This is Ian Wallace for the Ray Hadley Morning Show.
Freshly ground cafe quality coffee is just $1 at 7-Eleven. Grab one today to really get your morning going. $1 coffee at 7-Eleven. Good call.
It's good to have your company. Barry says, country people different to city people, right? They trust everyone. City people once like that, but they have learned over the years not to trust anyone. Country people haven't, unfortunately. That's why these mongrels go to the bush, because they know this. Well, I've got to say that even allowing for that naive attitude, Barry, I don't know too many people in the bush that would actually hand over an open cheque for $30,000 for work that hadn't been done. Wendy Chan says, Ray, that man did not call up to be further humiliated. You should apologise. You're very nasty. Well, Wendy, I don't think I was nasty. I was gobsmacked and remain gobsmacked that anyone would give a bloke, they don't know, $30,000 for a job that had not been completed. Speaking of nasty, Wendy, if the hat fits, wear it. It's good to have your company. A couple of stories to deal with in the lead up to the news at 10 o'clock, comes up in 8.5 minutes. That man and a woman both found dead in their 30s at Karajong. They were actually in a shipping container in what firefighters have described as a makeshift cabin. There was a wood chip heater inside. Authorities are looking whether fumes from the heater caused their death. They were a part of a group of campers up there. And a woman has died after a house fire at Old Adamitabe in the Snowy Mountains. That fire broke out this morning, 2XL Newsroom are telling us. 8.25 minutes to 10. Oh, it must be full moon out there or windy or something. Ray, I emailed you a week ago about Wally's attempts at pronunciation of Kosciuszko. For Wally's information, the correct pronunciation is Kosciuszko. This can be very... Listen, mate. If Wally starts talking about Kosciuszko as opposed to Kosciuszko, no one, including me, will know what he's talking about. Go away. Leave us alone. Many heads out there at the moment. 131873 is the open line number. A father of two has been violently stabbed to death, we're told in the Courier Mail. This has happened at Caboolture. The man was stabbed in the stomach in the early hours of yesterday morning, 500 metres from his home. His former girlfriend has been charged with murder. Now, that's led to a court appearance by this woman today at Caboolture Court. The ABC putting out on social media that a journalist has had a cigarette butt put on her face by a woman who was in the Caboolture court to support the murder accused. Police are now investigating the cigarette incident at Caboolture court. The lady allegedly with the cigarette butt, which was forced into the face of a female journalist, was also at the time pushing a pram. News then back with the second hour. And welcome back, second hour of the program, this holiday Monday across Australia. Ray Hadley in the morning, 131873 is that open line number with you. In many instances, it's all midday today, and other stations will farewell us in the next hour or so, but it's nice to have your company if you're here for the full 3 hours. Diane is. She's in Brisbane. Hello, Diane.
Good morning, Ray. How are you?
Well, thank you, Diane.
I'm just ringing because I'm in a social motorcycle club, and we go riding every weekend, and then every 3 months we have a great big ride where we sort of a whole lot of us get together.
Right.
Well, I have arranged this for next Sunday, the 14th of June, and I rung around to about 3 or 4 hotels in the area, and they refused to have us because they got us underneath. We're all motorcycles,
well, hang on,
riders are the same.
Well, hang on a sec, Diane. This doesn't ring true. If I were to ring these hotels because I was having a how many people are we talking about, love?
15, 20.
Okay. You see, this is the sort of nonsense we're going to put to bed. When you made the booking, what did you tell the people?
I told them our name and that we were a social motorcycle club and I would be having about 15, 20 people.
Why would you make a point of saying you're a social motorcycle club? Why don't you just make a booking for 15 people?
Because I have to find out if they would allow us in.
No. You don't have to... this is putting the, you know, the cart before the horse. You ring any, and this is the sort of nonsense I've been putting up with from people like you, Diane, for too long. Ring the pub, say, I'd like to book a table for 15. I'll be there next Sunday, and I'll say, fantastic. You're not going to use my program, Diane, to perpetuate a myth. I mean, when I make a booking, as I regularly do for pubs, 3 or 4 in my area, they don't give a bugger how I'm getting there. All they're worried about is that I turn up, they've got a mobile number to contact me, and then I can sit down, eat, behave myself, and pay my bill. So why would you ring a pub and say, oh, look, we're motorcyclists, and there's 15 of us? How's that germane to a booking? And it's the sort of nonsense I'm putting up with from Queensland callers about, oh, you don't want to water down the bikey laws, and all these social motorcycle clubs are being, you know... It's the greatest load of BS I've ever heard. Ring the pub, tell them you're on a table for 15. They don't care if you walk, ride a pony, or ride a Harley Davidson. They don't care. Ring up, make a booking for 15 people, and I'm sure when you turn up, you'll be treated right royally. They won't care what you arrive on. I've seen the emails on the social media. Ring Hadley and trying to get him drop off Anastasia Palaszczuk's removal of the bikie laws because it's impacting on social motorcycle riders. It's the greatest load of BS I've ever heard. I mean, who rings and says, oh, hello, we'd like a table... different if you're making a booking for 500. They want to know a bit more about you. You're making a table for 15, booking. Ring up, make the booking, turn up, pay your bill and get on your motorbike and go home. I mean, Diane, it was just too easy to pick. 131873. Story by Yoni Bashan in the Sunday Telegraph yesterday. A woman on parole for a bashing murder, a man convicted of incest against a 14-year-old daughter, a woman, a swimming coach who fondled boys in a public toilet. These are some of the convicted criminals, including rapists, pedophiles and killers, who've been awarded a working with children check over the past 12 months. Despite being deemed unsafe to work with children by the New South Wales Office of the Children's Guardian. After being rejected by the Children's Guardian, the disqualified applicants took their cases, wait for it, to the New South Wales Civil and Tribunal, which overturned the cases. Well, the first thing that happens today, or tomorrow actually when he's back on deck, the Premier simply reverses his decision and removes the power from the New South Wales Civil and Admin Tribunal to deal in such matters. The Sunday Telegraph launched a campaign to protect children against violent offenders and ensure the Children's Guardian can effectively exclude people it deems unsafe. The analysis by the Sunday Telegraph appeals finalised over the past 12 months show a small but significant number of individuals being granted clearances against the express wishes of the Children's Guardian. The Premier can change this with a strike of a pen. Brad Hazzard, the Family and Community Services Minister, said he'd ask the Attorney-General in New South Wales, Gabrielle Upton, to review the cases. That doesn't need reviewing. The Premier tomorrow just changes it. This mob, the New South Wales Civil and Admin Tribunal, Appeals Tribunal, is the greatest waste of space ever perpetuated on the people of New South Wales. And other appeals tribunals of such nature are similarly a waste of space. And there can be no greater indictment of their performance that they would think it's okay for a man convicted of incest against his own 14-year-old daughter, a swimming coach who fondled boys in a public toilet, or a woman on parole for a bashing murder would be the type of person that should be able to pass a working with children check. The Premier should change it tomorrow. 131873 is the open line number, 2gb.com. Click onto the feedback icon if you'd like to join us. And for other people like Diane who think that the wool can be pulled over my eyes, I won't be changing my view. New South Wales has got it right. Queensland's got it right. Any attempt by Anastasia Palaszczuk to change the bikie laws would be a retrograde step for the people of Queensland. I don't care what anyone says. And I'm still waiting for absolute proof that people who are not associated with outlaw motorcycle gangs or criminal gangs in general have been affected by this legislation. No one cares, Diane, whether you're riding a bike, pushing a pram, riding a horse or coming in a car. Book your restaurant, book your pub, 15 people, pay your bill, everyone will be happy. Ralph's up in Glen Innes. He's got a business up there, owns the accommodation, the old Compton, he says. Diane's most welcome to go there, doesn't care how they arrive, as long as they pay their bill. The convent, Glen Innes, is the place you want to go, Diane. Ralph, the proprietor, is more than happy to have you and your other friends there, like-minded friends, for lunch, dinner and overnight accommodation. John from Goulburn says, I heard you talk about the pursuit through Goulburn. Taxi driver, he says, I was driving the early hours of Saturday when police were in pursuit of that hoon. I think it's the same one you're talking about. At first I thought there may have been an accident on the highway as four cars left the station at high speed in quick succession. It was then they split up and went in different directions. I knew something else was going on. A short time later, I was leaving a servo with a passenger with his hoon in a dark car. No, John, different one, mate. You didn't listen. Motorcycle rider. So it sounds like the coppers had a busy time in Goulburn over the weekend. The one we were talking about, mate, was a young bloke on a motorcycle, not in a car. Story from the Gold Coast Bulletin, which is of grave concern, I'd imagine, to the Gold Coast residents. Mackenzie Raven has the story. The man who led the crusade to kick the bikies out of the Gold Coast will leave the city at the end of the month. Jim Keogh, the superintendent for the Rapid Action and Patrols Group, which is known as RAP, will return to his previous position in Brisbane when funding runs out for his current role June 30. Confirming the move, police said the RAP group would continue under the leadership of Inspector Shane Holmes, but would no longer be separate to the Gold Coast Police District. So they're dismantling the bikey squad. The Gold Coast Rapid Action and Patrol Group was created and formed as part of Operation Resolute and will finalise on June 30, according to a spokesman for the minister. Yet the problem for the minister, who of course showed exactly how naive and inept she is last week in Queensland, the bikies don't clock off like you were about to clock off. The Gold Coast Rap Group will subsequently transition to within the command of the Gold Coast District with the same staffing strength. Superintendent Keogh will vacate the temporary superintendent position and return to his permanent position with the Brisbane region. Superintendent Keogh did not wish to comment when contacted by the Gold Coast Bulletin. RAP officers have arrested more than 5,000 people on 7,100 charges and taken more than $1.2 million in drugs off the Gold Coast streets since the introduction in May last year. They shut down the city's seven bikie clubhouses from Burley to Narang. Superintendent Keogh said last month his officers monitored gang hangouts daily. It was nearly a checklist, he said. You had clubhouses, walkthroughs of licensed venues, walkthroughs of entertainment precincts, all places they were known to frequent. We also did home visitations for alcohol and drug testing. From the high number of positive returns, obviously caught them unaware. There is always the likelihood of them wanting to go back to their old ways, and I think they would still like to be 1%ers, but they need to embrace the fact that 1% behaviour is closely linked to 100% before the court. With the bikies gone, RAP officers turned their attention to drugs and lower-level crime. And while they lose their leader, Gold Coast District Chief Superintendent Des Lacey said they would be just as effective. Well, I hope you're right, Des. A spokesman for the useless police minister up there, Joanne Miller, would not comment on the move yesterday, saying it was an operational matter. However, opposition police spokesman Jared Blay, who was a staunch on the when he was Attorney General on the crackdown on bikies under the Newman government, said Superintendent Keogh's removal was a step backwards in the fight against criminal gangs. The government is already looking at watering down the bikie laws. I think this is just softening the community up for the abolishment of RAP. RAP will essentially be operating only by name, and those 100 officers will now be under the normal process, no separate funding, he said. And he's right about that. I just don't understand how any government in any jurisdiction in Australia can lend support to bikies. I really don't. But it appears Anastasia Palaszczuk is intent on doing that. 90 minutes past 10.
On the Ray Hadley Morning Show, traffic for Australian Fleet Sales. Call 1300 Used Cars.
In Sydney, motorways and freeways moving nicely. No problems on the M1 Pacific Motorway up towards the Newcastle area. Now through Gundagai, fog over the Hume Highway. Slow down, put those headlights on. Through the Riverina, roads are clear around Griffith and Wagga Wagga. Kosciuszko National Park and surrounding area, snow and ice on the road. Chains are required. And from the mid-north coast to the Pacific Highway, steady flow of traffic heading southbound at the moment. And between Bathurst and Lithgow, no delays on the Great Western Highway. This is Ian Wallace for the Ray Hadley Morning Show.
The turbo diesel Nissan Navara 4x4 dual cab Silverline Special Edition Auto is now in runout from only 37,290 drive away. See your Nissan dealer. Limited stocks available.
Now here's one for the Minister for Corrections, David Elliott, when he comes back to the office tomorrow. This comes out of Goulburn Correctional Centre. Last week, a justice health nurse, who's named here, I won't name her yet, was caught bringing in phones, steroids and drugs to Goulburn. She was giving it to a high-profile inmate of Middle Eastern descent within his monthly medication drop. She was going out of her way to give it to him, which raised suspicion. The inmate was searched and a massive amount of phones, steroids and drugs were found. The inmate told staff the woman in question was getting $1,000 per item brought in. I'll repeat, and with the names taken away, redacted, we'll send this on to the Minister in New South Wales. Last week, a justice health nurse named, I won't name her here, was caught bringing in phones, steroids and drugs to Goulburn, the jail. She was giving a high-profile Middle Eastern inmate these items with his monthly medication drop. She was going out of her way to give it to him, which raised suspicion among other officers. The inmate was then searched and massive numbers of phones, steroids and drugs were located inside his cell. The inmate confirmed with staff the woman in question was getting $1,000 per item to bring them in. We'll put that to David Elliott tomorrow and find out exactly what did happen. Many people have been honoured for Queen's birthday today. A whole range of people get AMs, OAMs and AOs. One of them is the legendary Cessnock-based jockey Robert Thompson. He's on the line. G'day, Robert.
Good morning, Ray.
Harley tells me that he's going to start calling you Sir Robert. Is this correct?
Harley, I hope so.
Well, mate, I said to him, I think he should be your chauffeur full time.
Yeah.
And that he probably should make sure you've got a cup of tea, if you want a cup of tea in the jockey's room, and he should basically be your butler.
That'd be good, Ray, but listen, I don't want him to be my chauffeur and all that, because only a couple of weeks ago when the big floods were on, he drove into the water and he nearly got lost.
Oh, well, we'll bar him from driving then, okay?
Yeah, for sure.
Well, you've had an unbelievable month. You've been inducted into the Horse Racing Hall of Fame, and now you've been honoured with this fantastic achievement today in the Queen's Birthday Honours List. Where does it sit after a wonderful career, which is still going?
Way right at the top of that, Ray. I'm humbled and very thrilled all about it. I can't believe it.
And I guess the people of Cessnock are already proud of you, even prouder now.
Yes, yeah, pretty sure so. But Mum had a bit of a go at me this morning, all that, when I rang and all that, because she come for dinner last night and we haven't told her and all that. When I rang and that this morning and all that, she said, "Why didn't you bloody tell me last night?" I said, "Oh, I had to keep it a secret, Mum, and you're... I'd had to put too many tongue ties on you to be quiet."
You reckon Mum wouldn't have been able to help herself when she got home, made a couple of phone calls?
That's it, mate, yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm sure she understands that it had to be kept under double wraps until it was released today, and it has been released now.
That's it, mate.
And you're having a day off, they tell me. This is a rare one for you.
Yeah. No, a day off. No, there was just a couple of meetings on today, Ray, but just got a couple of spare days, but we'll be back into it towards the end of the week.
Well, see, I was looking around where you may have gone, and I thought, well, maybe he's driving to Ballina, because you just about drive everywhere, don't you?
Yeah, always on the road, Ray, yeah. That's the hardest part of the job sort of thing, to and from work, but that's what you got to do these days.
Now, look, I saw that Malcolm Johnston at a Chinese restaurant recently.
Yes.
He was eating chicken.
Yes.
And I remember watching you and him on that program when you presented him with the most magnificent rooster.
That's right.
Do you know the whereabouts of the rooster these days?
No, I don't, Ray, because after a little while and all that, I said, how's the rooster going, Mal? He said, he knows how to crow at 2:30 in the morning. He said, I'm going to sit the axe there at the gate shortly.
Well, I'm fearful that he may have taken the rooster to be prepared by the people at Eaton Gardens for his chicken chow mein.
Oh, dear. Anyway, well, I might have to reprimand him.
Yes, he needs pulling in the gear by someone.
Yes, that's right, mate.
Anyway, mate, we're delighted for you. Congratulations. It's a great honour for racing. It's a great honour for your family.
Thank you very much, Robert Thompson.
Well done, mate. Have a good good couple of days off and get back into it.
Rightio, mate, and thank you very much for the call and all your support for a lot of years.
It'll continue, Robert. Thank you. Robert Thompson, he's ridden in excess of 4,000 winners. I think it's now 4,118 winners across the country. A sense of decency that you rarely see in people, no matter what walk of life they're involved in. But Robert Thompson is just one decent man who happens to be a brilliantly gifted rider. And decided that he may have come to town as a young bloke and ridden many of winners at Randwick and Rose Hill, Canterbury, Warwick Farm, but wanted to be up on the farm at Cessnock, where he remains to this very day, and doing a wonderful job. The Harley I refer to is Gary Harley, more commonly known as the man that ate Maitland, a Hunter Valley legend in himself, race caller, football commentator, and now tipster on Sky, and one of the great supporters over 30 or 40 years of Robert Thompson and the Thompson family. And I know Gary would share the joy today that his mate has been honoured in such a way on the Queen's birthday. 131873 is that open line number, 2gb.com. Click onto the feedback icon if you'd like to join us. 26 past 10. Brett's in Queensland. Ray, I ride a motorcycle, sometimes alone, sometimes in a group of like-minded people. I've never had a problem getting a beer or a feed in a pub anywhere. Diane's talking BS. And you're 100% right to shorten her up. Thank you very much for that, Brett. It is nonsense, and it's perpetrated by people sometimes with links to outlaw motorcycle gangs to try and scare other people. I've got a video link to the cigarette stub attack on the journalist up here. The Sunshine Coast Daily, I think, has published this one. I'll see what I can see out of it. This is a woman who has appeared in court, allegedly charged with murder, or charged of the alleged murder of a man. And what I've been told is that coming out of the court, a supporter of the woman has allegedly stubbed the journalist with a cigarette butt while pushing a pram. Now, here comes the vision now, but it says a Channel 9 reporter has had a lit cigarette put on her face outside Caboolture Magistrates Court. Media were attempting to interview supporters of alleged murderer, and she's named, who appeared before the court today, when a young female supporter lit a cigarette and put it in the face of the journalist. Now, I'm watching this young woman with a bloke in tow coming out of the court. She's pushing a pram, and the journalists, of course, come across, and the woman pushing the pram continues to walk in front of the media. Nothing too much happening in relation to that. And then she allegedly lights a cigarette, and she's doing that right now, and then appears to blow smoke into the face of the journalist from Channel 9, and then burns her with a cigarette, puts a cigarette on her face, and there's vision of it. She's going to have a problem defending herself there, the woman. She's put the lit cigarette into the face of the blonde-headed journalist, who I believe is from Channel 9. So, like I say, given there's video evidence of her lighting the cigarette, then blowing smoke into the face of the young woman, and then appearing to stub the lit cigarette into the face of the young woman, it'll be a bit hard for her to defend. We'll put that on the website. Lovely. What hope has the poor child got with a mother like that? Fair dinkum. Well, you have to remember she was in court supporting an alleged murderer. 131873 is that open line number, 2gb.com. Click onto the feedback icon if you would like to join us. You can have your say right here. In the meantime, it's 28 to 11.
Macquarie National News.
And thank you, Natalie.
Thanks, Ray. Sydney police have revealed officers helped two people out of a stolen car that smashed into their patrol vehicle last night, but then the pair ran away. Three officers were taken to hospital. One of them, who's actually a new recruit, is still being treated. A man and a woman have been discovered dead in a cabin in northwestern Sydney. The deaths have been linked to carbon monoxide poisoning from a heater. A nine-year-old boy's in a serious condition in a Brisbane hospital after suffering burns to almost half his body. And supermodel Kate Moss has been escorted off a plane at a London airport for being disruptive on a flight from Turkey. In sport, Swede Dave Lingmuth has claimed his first US PGA Tour title in a playoff victory over Justin Rose at the Memorial Tournament. Ray will have more news and sport in 27 minutes.
Thank you. Jeff says, I'm going with 4,000 other social motorcyclists to Ayers Rock in August for the Black Dog Ride. We had not one problem booking to hotels, motels or anyone else for a feed. Thank you for that. 131873 is our open lane number, 2gb.com. You click on the feedback icon. And here's one. Michael's in Toowoomba listening to us this morning. I own a pub up here, the Spotted Cow. Give us a call. The woman can have a feed here. And if she's a Rabbitoh supporter, she might even get a discount. 131873 is that open lane number, 2gb.com. Click on the feedback icon if you would like to join us. You sound like an idiot, says Terry Kemp from Winmalee. If the lady booked in without mentioning it being a bikey club, she was afraid of being knocked back when they arrived. What is the pub going to walk out the front and see whether you're getting out of a car or off a motorbike or off a horse? I'm totally for a crackdown on outlaw motorcycle gangs. The lady sounded like she was a peaceful... Well, of course she is. Of course she's a peaceful lady. But there are people, Terry, from Winmalee, and you're a long way from Queensland, who are agitating for the laws to be changed, and some of them, shock horror, are outlaw motorcycle gangs. And they'd like them to change for a very good reason. They'd like their lives to be made a whole lot easier, and they prey on poor, tragic people like Diane to do their bidding for them by putting out on social media a whole range of things which are simply not true. Terry, put a tablet under your tongue. Bye-bye, son. 131873 is the open line number, 2gb.com. Click onto the feedback icon if you would like to join us. Mick says, regarding the woman who called about accommodation and having a feed, I own a Harley, as do several friends. We team up with other riders in our area, do it for Rotary. The last one incorporated about 40 of us. We went to a number of towns, had counter lunches, never a drama. No one took any notice of us. The locals even take pictures of us on our bikes. You're right, it's rubbish. It's a G-up. 131873 is the open lane number, 2GB.com. Click onto the feedback icon if you would like to join us. You can have your say right here. John, hello.
Ray, how you going?
Not bad, John. What's wrong, son?
Good to see you back on the deck, mate.
Nice to be here, mate.
Mate, I went to the Titans-South game last weekend.
Right.
And we walked up, my daughter and I walked up to just walk through, and they said, you've got anything to claim, check the bag. Had a packet of chips, box of biggies, and they said, oh, you can't take them in. And I said, why not? They said, they didn't give me a reason. They just said management said you can't take them in. But we've got plastic bags here for you. You can put them into them, plain plastic bags. I said, mate, has that garbage been there? Just chuck them straight in there. I'm not going
to... Hang on. Just slow down a bit because I can talk to Graham. No, you're right, mate. Graham Innesley. So they're happy for you to take them in.
Just to put them in a plain plastic bag. I couldn't understand what the story. They had a...
So...
Yeah.
So you can take them in, but they want you to open the packet.
Yeah.
Put them in a resealable bag, do they?
Not even a resealable. You know, the old home brand freezer bags.
Why?
Put them in a freezer. And I said to him, look, don't worry about it. I said, it was a couple of bucks each. I'm not going to even bother. But the thing I really felt sorry for, there's a couple with a little boy, and I think that was the first game of football they'd been to. And, and they had a camera. And they checked the lens, and they had something on the table that give them an idea of how long the lens is.
Yeah.
And they said to them, oh, you can't bring that in. And they said, why not? And I said, oh, it's too long. And they said, but it's the only lens we've got. And they said, oh, no, sorry, you can't. But they said, we can't use the camera. And they said, no, sorry, you can't bring it in, but you can take it over to the cloakroom and leave it there, and then when after the game, you can come back and get it.
So this is CBus Super Stadium, is it?
Yeah, mate. Yep.
Okay. Well, I've just gone on their website while you were talking.
Mm.
Not allowed. Commercial food from takeaway fast food outlets. You can't take Macca's, Subway, KFC or pizza, which is understandable, nor alcohol.
Yeah.
You can take in sealed 600ml commercial water, so you can take a bottle of water in. You can take a personal water bottle filled with water, and make sure it hasn't got alcohol in it, of course.
Yeah.
You can put lollies in a snack-size Ziploc bag. So... they're saying you could take your chips out of, you just say you bought them at, you know, the supermarket.
Yeah.
They want you to then go to the extra expense of putting them in a sealed bag.
That's what they want you to do, yeah.
Well, I don't understand why. Why would you take them out of one bag and put them in another bag?
And
you can take fruit, you can take a Tetra Pak fruit juice.
Yeah. And you know the silly thing about it? My daughter and I were sitting there, and here's a guy sitting in front of us eating a packet of chips for the same brand of chips.
Yeah.
In front of which they might sell in that.
Look, mate, I think it's a dumb rule.
Yeah.
And I can't think of a reason why Graham Innesley would enforce it. But I can understand they don't want you to take in, you know, pizzas and Subway and Macca's and KFC and all the rest of it. But this is how silly it is. You can, and these appear to be pretty liberal compared to other grounds that I've been to.
Yeah.
You can take in homemade sandwiches. You can take in cakes, muffins, biscuits. You can take a thermos flask in with tea or coffee in it. You can take baby food, obviously, in.
Mm.
And the big difference here is if you take lollies or chips, before you leave home, you've got to open them up, put them into a snack-sized Ziploc bag, and Bob's your uncle. I'd never heard anything so silly in my life.
And I was thinking maybe that's why they can't get enough people there, mate.
You know what they should be doing at CBus Super Stadium, John, rather?
Yeah.
Should be getting a prawn net at the front and dragging you through the gate.
Exactly
the last thing that rugby league should be doing in 2015 is making it tougher for people like you to go and watch the football game. They should be making it easier. And you know, like I say, alcohol, no. Commercial drinks, no. Fast food, no. But if you come along with some chips, you know, for your child, and they're in an unopened... I mean, I just never heard anything as silly in my life.
Mate, I thought the same thing, and I felt really sorry for those. I mean, it did worry me. I just chucked them in the garbage.
Yeah. I don't know about the camera.
That's ridiculous.
It's an elderly couple with a grandchild, did you say?
Well, I think they were just, you know, average sort of age people.
Yeah.
And they were confused. They were really confused because they said, oh, have you got your car here?
They worried they were from the opposition newspaper.
Maybe they did.
The Bulletin or something.
Maybe
and take
they
photos
did.
And sell them. I mean, anyway, I'll get on to Graham Innesley about it. And
right,
if
mate.
He can change it, he should. But like I say, they should be standing outside between the railway station at Robina and the ground. They should be standing out the front with a prawn net dragging you in, not refusing you entry.
Exactly right.
All right, mate.
Good on you, mate.
Thanks for bringing it to my attention, John. John's up in Logan, so I think he's travelled a fair way to get to that game to watch the Rabbitohs and Titans, and they make it hard for him to get in. Just ridiculous. Why would you want lollies or chips put in a Ziploc bag before you get there. Just bizarre. 131873 is the open line number, 2gb.com. Click on the feedback icon. Frank says, love the show. I'd like you to give a shout out to the Tuggeranong Valley Dragons for their great carnival yesterday. This is in Canberra. And my side too, the Queanbeyan Blues Masters. Great day for all the teams. And there were family teams from Orange, Young, local sides from Canberra and Queanbeyan. Love the show. Good on you, Frank. Well done. It's 20 minutes to 11. It's good to have your company. 16 minutes away from 11. 131873 is the open line number, 2gb.com. You click onto the feedback icon if you would like to join us. This problem at Caboolture this morning, and we've put the video up on our website at 2gb.com, the Ray Hadley morning page, and 4bc.com.au. But I have the reporter, Alex Bernhardt, on the line here from the Nine Network in Brisbane, who was, from the vision I've seen, stabbed in the face with a lit cigarette. Hello, Alex.
Good morning, Ray.
How are you?
I'm okay, thank you. I was a little bit shocked by what happened, but I guess it's happened.
Yeah, are there any marks? Will you need any medical treatment?
No, look, I'm okay. It's a little bit sore just on the side of my cheek, where okay. She got me, but yeah, I'll be fine.
Now I've watched the vision, and this young woman, who's obviously connected in some way to the alleged murderer, a female, comes down with a pram. There's a media scrum where the media are wanting to talk to people who are in the court, obviously supporting the alleged murderer. The woman stops with the pram in front of her from the vision I've seen. I don't know whether it's you. I think it may well be you. She blows smoke in your face after lighting a cigarette. And then the vision I see next is you walking alongside her with your cameraman to one side, and she just turns and stubs the lit cigarette straight in your cheek.
Yeah, that's exactly right. She sort of walked outside the door, and it took her a little while to come out. You could see that she was quite aggressive at the door, and then sort of walked down the stairs. And naturally, as you said, being at court, we did walk down the street with her and try and ask her a couple of questions. She's actually looked like she was one of the friends of the girl who has been charged, as you mentioned. And yeah, we asked sort of one or two questions as we normally would. We weren't sort of rude in any way. And then she decided to basically start blowing smoke, and her boyfriend was sort of, miming quite rude gestures as well. And then she decided to stab me with the cigarette.
Have you been spoken to by police?
Yeah, police obviously thought it was a bit of drama, and they did come over and have a chat to me. They sort of said, if you want to press charges, you can. But at this stage, I think it's best to probably just leave it alone. Not good.
Not good. Okay, Alex. Well, thank you very much for talking to me, and I hope you're going to be okay. But it did look perhaps a lot more serious than it turned out to be based on my conversation with you. I hope you're okay.
Thanks, Ray.
Alex Bernhardt there from Channel 9 in Brisbane had a cigarette butt stabbed under her cheek, and she's decided she won't press charges. She'll let the matter rest. That's a decision entirely for her. It's 13 and a half minutes to 11. I don't know if you saw this story in the Courier Mail, and I'm not quite sure whether it made the Telegraph or not. Kate McKenna wrote the story. A convicted Queensland pedophile will be released from Sydney's Villawood Immigration Detention Centre after a federal court judge quashed a discretionary decision by the then minister, Scott Morrison, to cancel his visa. The then immigration minister was also ordered to pay the man's costs. In a judgment published online on Friday, Justice John Logan from the federal court found the use of discretion by the minister was unreasonable. Well, let me see whether you think it's unreasonable or not. The minister has, with respect, taken a sledgehammer to crack a nut. He's a sex offender, this fellow, who can't be named. He was born in the UK. He's not an Australian citizen. He holds a 5-year resident return visa, allowing him to remain in Australia indefinitely. He pleaded guilty in the Queensland District Court in 2013 to 3 counts of indecently treating a child under the age of 12 who, quote, has lineal descent and was under his care. I believe it's his grandchild. He was convicted and sentenced to 2 years jail, suspended after 6 months. Well, that's a debate for another day. Inadequate sentencing of pedophiles. The Migration Act at the time allowed Mr. Morrison discretion to cancel the man's visa following his sentence, which he did October 28 last year. Australian Federal Police then arrested the man at his family home in Queensland in early November and transferred him to Villawood in Sydney. Mr. Morrison said he decided to exercise his discretion because the man's crime against his granddaughter is contrary to the values held by Australia. Mr. Morrison said he did consider the man long and deep ties to Australia and the substantial hardship his family would suffer if removed from the country. Justice Logan said it was not controversial. The minister could reasonably suspect, and did, the man had a substantial criminal record. He said the minister's decision was not bizarre, although his use of discretion was unreasonable. Well, I would vehemently disagree with Justice Logan, with all due respect to him. Scott Morrison will be on the program tomorrow. He's no longer the immigration minister, but we'll see what they do with the paedophile. I don't want him in Australia, and nor would you, I think, but apparently Justice Logan takes an entirely different view. And a story by Daniel Mears from the Daily Telegraph from the weekend. Would-be refugees are milking the barbaric treatment of women in the Middle East to dream up fake arranged marriage scenarios in brazen bids to con the Australian government into getting a protection visa. As women in Syria are being burned alive, citizens from tropical island nations like Fiji and parts of Asia are pretending violent arranged marriages await them back home, but when asked in court, can't even provide the name of the alleged suitor. Men are also claiming to be gay in a bid to avoid an arranged marriage to a woman in their homeland, saying their homosexuality would ensure they face a violent return. Federal Circuit Court judges are regularly ruling applicants are fabricating stories to earn protection visas, robbing genuine people from seeking asylum in Australia. This is an investigation by the Saturday Daily Telegraph. They found a Chinese woman claiming to be forced into arranged marriage this year by her parents, actually not spoken to her parents since 2009. A Jordanian man claimed he risked torture because he was gay and could not accept an arranged marriage. All the claims were found to be false. We'll talk to the Immigration Minister Peter Dutton on Thursday. He said the courts and the immigration officials would not tolerate any attempt to game the system. Story from the Daily Telegraph on Saturday. 131873 is the open line number, 2gb.com. You click onto the feedback icon. Your nearest Sanity store is only a click away. Visit Sanity on your mobile device and check out the new website. Why not visit Sanity at sanity.com.au and shop on the go. All the music, TV on DVD, movies on DVD and Blu-ray. In fact, all the entertainment you need is available to buy on your computer, smartphone or tablet. Head to sanity.com.au and shop on the go anytime that suits you. Sanity, proud sponsor of the Ray Hadley Morning Show and supplier of the Ray Hadley Country Music Collection Volume 3, available now, supporting Professor Dominic Ray's research into motor neurone disease. Sanity, great service, great value. 9.5 to 11.
On the Ray Hadley Morning Show, traffic for Australian fleet sales. Call 1300 used cars.
And Neutral Bay, we have some heavy traffic on Military Road through Cremorne and Mossman as you make your way down towards Taronga Zoo. Albion Park Rail into Wollongong, Princes Highway, busy at times, but it is moving. From the mid-north coast, a steady flow of traffic on the Pacific Highway heading southbound between Bathurst and Lithgow. No delays on the Great Western Highway at this stage. Also through the Blue Mountains Great Western Highway, moving steadily in both directions. And Kosciuszko National Park and surrounding areas, snow and ice on the roads, chains are required. This is Ian Wallace for the Ray Hadley Morning Show.
Get a sneak peek of Australia's biggest stocktake sale at the Myer Preview event. There's massive store-wide savings from 6pm tomorrow at selected stores. See website for details. Visit Myer tomorrow.
5.5 to 11 on this holiday Monday. G'day, Linda.
Morning, Ray. How are you?
Well, thank you, Linda.
First time caller, long time listener.
Beautiful. Where are you at?
I'm at Redcliffe.
Lovely
Queensland.
Redcliffe. Lovely.
Yeah,
nice to have you come. Is it? Fantastic.
We had the same sort of experience as the other man about the takeaway yesterday. Went to a cafe that's been there forever.
Yeah.
Anyway, Mum wanted a pie, so they said, we don't sell pies.
No, fair enough.
But two doors down, you know, you can get a pie.
Yep.
We'd ordered about $40 worth of other things, sat down. I got Mum's pie and a tiny little sausage roll in the packet.
Yep.
And next thing, she came over and said, look, this is in a food court. And we don't really allow takeaway here.
What?
And we were just shocked.
Well,
let's say it's
all about being reasonable. Just say that you and your mum had gone down to the pie shop.
Well, it was four of us, actually.
Yeah, bought four pies and three sausage rolls and sat at their table.
Yeah.
I can imagine. But if you were spending $40 of your hard-earned with them...
That's right. Well, we'll
and they don't... different if they sell pies.
Yeah,
but they don't sell
right.
pies. I mean...
If they had us sold the pie, no worries.
You would have been buying it there. But I just... I would think... It's a bit like the football, Linda. If there's a cafe in Redcliffe that's doing so well, it can afford to turn back customers in those circumstances. It's like I had one a couple of years ago from a coffee shop in Castle Hill, which is in a big shopping centre in Sydney here. And the lady went in and wanted a cup of coffee. It's a coffee shop.
Mm.
And the bloke said, no, you've got to have something to eat. She said, but I'm not hungry. I want a cup of coffee. And the coffee's $4 or $5, whatever it is. Yeah. And he wouldn't serve her. And you know what? I know, you know, I identified the coffee. I've never walked in there. There's about 30 coffee shops to pick from, and I thought, well, on principle, I'll never go there. I don't know, it's still owned by the same people.
You know, but, Ray, many a times I've gone in, had a coffee, and decided, oh, I might have a meal here.
Yeah.
You know?
I just think, you know, it's... I just think in 2015, when everyone's battling for a quid, that the sensible thing would be to do, you're spending $40, let Mum have the pie and sausage roll, which she can't buy there anyway. Just
we ordered $40 worth of food from them still. And funny thing about it, she said, you know, it's not a food court, rah, rah, rah. Mm. But we were dining with a little dog, and I love dogs. Don't get me wrong.
Yes.
We were dining with a little dog at the next table, mind you.
Don't start my little dogs. My local cafe's got a big sign at the front, no animals.
Yeah.
And when I go there sometimes Saturday for breakfast on the way to work, I share it with about six of the little puppy dogs. And I'm a dog lover. I love my pugs. But if the sign says no animals, I think it's really, really rude to park your dog there while other people are trying
to
work.
We were just surprised.
Anyway, the rules are, how many cafes are there in Redcliffe to choose from?
The whole street. We get a lot of tourists down here, and I'm a local.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, if that's how, you know, I could have been a tourist. If that's how they treat the tourists, well, you know, it doesn't give a good indication, does it?
It's sometimes just about being sensible. I mean, if you're there trying to use their facilities without paying any money, of course.
And many a times we've gone there, and I won't go back again.
Well, there you go.
My family won't go back.
They've lost a customer through an act of stupidity.
Yeah. And they've been there for a long, long time.
Well, they should be more accommodating of people who are spending money at those places.
And as I said, Ray, it's not as if we sat down and didn't buy some. Then we bought about $40 worth of food. We had our cake, our coffee down in front of us when she came out.
Silly. You know? All right, well, I hope she's listening and maybe she was just having a bad day and maybe she can apologise for hunting you out of the place. All right, Linda, thanks darling.
Thanks for listening.
That's my pleasure, thank you. People in business should be, as I said, I'd imagine a coffee shop would be throwing a prawn net over people to get them inside. It's the Queen's birthday long weekend, as you know, and that means most people are probably enjoying a little bit of extra time off. If you want the energy to get most out of life, then do what thousands of other Australians are doing and take Nature B every day. Today's the last day of their special one-month free offer, so it's your last chance to take advantage of this super special. Order your six-month supply of Nature B for $99.95 and get a whole extra month supply for nothing. Call the B-Line, 1-800-147-009. Cookie's got them working on the public holiday. 1-800-147-009 is the Nature B-Line. 1-800-147-009. Or go to the website, which is naturebee.com. Naturebee.com or 1-800-147-009. Ray Hatley in the morning on 2GB, 2CC, 4BC and stations across the Macquarie Regional, Southern Cross and Capital Radio Networks. News comes up in 60 seconds. And welcome back for the final hour of the program. 131873 is the open line number. We're going across rural Queensland on the Macquarie Radio Network as well as 2GB and 4BC and other stations that will take us for that last hour. 2BS at Bathurst are back with us. Nice to have your company as well. 131873 is that open line number. 2GB.com. Click on the feedback icon and 2CC Canberra back with us as well, as is 2XL and other stations on the Capital Radio Network. Leanne is in Maryborough. Hello, Leanne.
Good morning, Ray.
Hello.
I'd just like to comment on the young reporter, Alex, that was hit by the cigarette this morning. I think she'd be doing herself and the rest of society a great injustice if she doesn't press charges against the other woman. I think the fabric of our society is just becoming ruined by people who think they can get away with anything they want to. She was obviously just doing her job. The other woman was upset, but that's still no reason to do that to somebody else. And people just think they can get away with things these days, and that's just cementing it for anybody else who wants to do something like that.
No, look, I agree with everything you said, Leanne, and I hope she's listening, and I hope you can convince her to do otherwise. But in these matters, when it's of a personal nature like this, I don't like to give advice to young women or young men. If she asked me for an opinion, I'd be more than happy to provide one to her. I'm pretty sure she'll get back to work. The people in the Brisbane newsroom will have a talk to her, and maybe she'll, you know, decide that she does want to proceed. But if she doesn't, well, that'll be entirely a decision for her.
Yes, I understand that. I certainly hope that someone talks to her and makes the season.
I've had a look at it during in the news. It's a horrible thing to do, what she's done, that young woman, and she needs to be held account to it for her actions. I do agree with you there. Okay?
All right. Thank you, Ray.
Thanks, love. All the best to you. Bye-bye. 131873 is the open line number. G'day, Tony.
Oh, g'day, Ray. How are you?
Not bad. Just before we get to you, Tony, the newsreader called him Robert Thompson. Robert Johnson. I don't know how that would happen. Obviously, the people in the newsroom don't listen to the program, but we'll be making sure they do correct it for the next bulletin. He's ridden 4,118 winners. I interviewed him on air, and we managed to call him Robert Johnson. Ring the news director, please. 131873 is that open line number, 2gb.com. It's embarrassing. Tony, sorry, mate, as you were saying.
Yeah, you're right, man. Look, just going back to that comment earlier from a woman that made mention of her mother, I think it was, that brought in a pie into a cafe. I get that people, some restaurants are, and cafes are struggling to make a quid, and I also get that they didn't sell pies, which is what her mother wanted.
Sure.
But as a former cafe owner, we had similar incidents where people would bring in food from other establishments, and we took the stand that we didn't allow that simply because you set a precedent, right? If one customer sees it, then
Tony,
they do it.
Tony, small business, you can't have one rule fitting all occasions. She spent $40,
mm-hmm.
and a poor old mother wanted a pie, which you don't sell. Do you then sacrifice the $40? I mean, you're not McDonald's. It's a small business, and if you've got one rule, which is totally inflexible, you're going to lose customers. Because there'd always been occasion where the rules can be flexed or broken, as the case may be. If the cafe had sold pies, not a problem. You'd have to buy it there. But if they're spending $40 on a Sunday morning, and I was running that small business and had to find wages and rent, if someone wanted to have a lend of me and six people sat down and wanted to bring their own food, I'd be saying, I'm sorry, you can't sit here. But if there are four people there, one of whom's having a pie, purchased two doors down, and the other three are spending $40, I know what I'd do as the operator of a small business. I'd take their $40 with open arms.
Well, we agree to disagree then, right?
All right then, thank you, Tony. We'll have to do that. But I don't think any business, big or large, can simply say, this is the policy and we're not getting away from that policy. $40 is a bit of money to find on a Sunday morning in Redcliffe, I'd imagine. And it was particularly important that he had his say as a former owner of a cafe. But we, as he says, agree to disagree. 131873 is the open line number. It's 10 past 11. 131873 is the open line number, 2gb.com. Hello, Margaret.
Good morning. How are you?
Really well, thank you, Margaret. Thanks for asking.
Good. I was just listening this morning about the elderly lady not being allowed to eat her pie or
another
cafe.
Yes.
There's a cafe where my friends and I sometimes go and have coffee. And one day there was an elderly gentleman was sitting at the back of the cafe, and the waitress asked him, what would he like? And he said he wanted a cup of coffee, but he didn't have enough money, and he'd count out his change and see if he had enough money for it.
Yeah.
And he didn't look like he had very much at all. So the waitress went away and told the cafe owner, and he came back,
right,
and spoke to the elderly gentleman, and he said to him, we have a special deal on today.
Right.
And he said, with your coffee, if you can afford it, well, he said, you can have a sandwich.
Right.
And the cafe owner gave him the sandwich and a cup of coffee for free because he knew he couldn't afford it.
What a nice man.
And you always hear the stories where people say, no, you can't this, you can't that.
Yeah.
And I just thought that this man deserved to have a bit of recognition of...
So I suspect you go back there, do you?
Pardon?
You go back there, I suspect.
Oh, yes, and I tell everyone that I know, and we go every Thursday. My friends and I go every Thursday now.
Good on you.
And we have coffee and sandwiches, and we tell everybody we know about his generosity. So if you put out the generosity of someone in business, it comes back tenfold.
He couldn't buy that sort of advertising that you're giving, Margaret. He couldn't buy it.
No, he couldn't. And he was just the kindest soul. So we go there all the time now. So I just thought it's nice.
Well, you better do the right thing now and tell me the name of it and where it is.
Oh, right. It's called Cafe 76, and it's in Westfield Shopping Centre at Fig Tree near Wollongong.
Cafe 76 at Fig Tree. Well, I'm sure our Wollongong listeners would appreciate the recommendation, and they'll be down to Cafe 76 when they can.
Yes, and I just think that people should hear good stories, not bad stories.
Good on you, darling. Thank you for telling us a good story about Cafe 76. I'm sure the proprietors appreciate your loyal support. Ray, this is from a police officer. Heard about that young dope on the motorbike down Goulburn Way who thought it'd be fun to bait the police into a chase. Must have been the weekend for it. 11 o'clock Friday night, Hunter Valley Highway Patrol attempting to stop a Toyota